thought.
Preach on the seven raptures or resurrections this morning, or this afternoon, but I'm not going to. We hit a vein preaching on marriage this morning, and I think the Lord would have me to continue with it and to go on a little bit more with it, all right? So I'm going to look at the concept of marriage a little bit more. Now keep this in mind. We have all sorts of folks here, okay? Some of you, marriage has been a pleasant and a happy thing to you, a good experience, okay? Others of you have been married for longer than 10 minutes, all right? But, no, what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. Some of you, your marriages have worked, and I thank God for that, okay? We have people here, your marriages haven't worked. And again, God forbid that I throw a stone at you. God forbid that I be a person to come up here and give you a hard time or whatever else and make you feel guilty or bad. Only God knows how bad you hurt inside over the things that have gone on, okay? I hope that in my preaching you find healing. Now, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hosea, which is, if you go through your major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea is stuck in there. Hosea had a strange commission from the Lord. Says this, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now, I don't need to go too much further than that. Here's a prophet that God told him, I want you to go take a woman that's a whore, and I want you to marry her. Okay? Why? Because God says, I want you to see what I've had to put up with. I want you to see what I've had to put up with, Israel. Unfaithfulness, bringing strange children home, and this is what I've had to put up with. Marriage has been a way for God to demonstrate to men his relationship with them. Dale, I want you to stand up and pray for the service.
Father, I do come to you right now, Lord. I just ask that you make free movement in this church even today. Quiet it down, Lord. Help us to concentrate. Help us to hear what needs to be said here, Lord. It's an important matter, Lord. You put on Pastor's heart. We need to hear it, Lord. There's people that need to hear it. We need to take it and put it into our lives, Lord. It'll lead differently than when we came in here, Lord. We just ask that you'd settle it down. And thank you so much for what you've already given us and what you're going to give us, Lord. And we just ask that we have open ears and open hearts and to hear what you have to say, Lord. We thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Ray Ray's having a hard time.
Yes.
Ray Ray's got Down syndrome. You know, it's always to our honor that she's in the house of God. Okay? I think we can put up with that.
Sir.
God puts up with us. We can put up with Ray Ray and to bless him. Okay? It drives her parents crazy, but, you know, we can live with it. All right? Now, years ago, there was a missionary to Brazil by the name of Jimmy Rose. And he had come out of Dr. Seitler's in Greenville, South Carolina, spent many years there. Whenever he's back in the United States, he used to preach a series on the book of Hosea. The man who was told to go marry a whore. And if you follow carefully, it talks about how he went in under her. Their first child came out. And then it says, and she conceived again. But it didn't say he went in under her. And God says, now I want you to know what it's like. Okay? I want you to know, O Israel, what it's like. Jimmy Rose has grown up in North Carolina. And again, he probably died of old age a long time ago. But one of the major families of the mid-North Carolina, Kannapolis area and around through there was the Cannon family. You know them through Cannon Towels. Okay? And back in the late 1800s, the Cannon family had established that and became unbelievably wealthy. They were the family in town. I don't know where you grew up. Every town has a family. It's the family, you know, and wealth and everything beyond anything. And they became good Christians. And one of their boys went out and is living kind of a semi-wild life or whatever. And, you know, like some of us do from time to time. And he ended up marrying a girl who at first said, yeah, you know, I'll come home. And, you know, she's marrying one of Cannon's. Wow, this is great stuff. And so she came to church and such. And then after a couple of years, she just left. She said, I can't take anymore, don't want to live with you anymore. Now, we're dealing back in the days. And Jody, again, as long as she's safe, we're fine. You get her someplace where she's fine and we're okay. But this is back in the days when a telephone call was an extremely expensive thing to make, and people just didn't communicate that much. You didn't have social media or anything, and trains were the main way to get around. And that boy pledged himself to the Lord. And he began to put advertisements out all over the country for his wife and saying, I'll forgive you, come back. Hired detectives find out she's riding with a biker gang somewhere. This is back in the 20s or 30s. She's riding with a biker gang. And he put out ads and such, I'll forgive you. And she went through a series of things, and she'd been gone a good 20 years. And by that time, she'd gone through man after man, and she'd just been drugged through the mud and everything that can go on. And most of you understand the kind of life she lived. And the day came when she heard a preacher and thought to herself, you know, I have a husband who's loved me all these years. Every once in a while I see the ads or something. There'll be a poster begging me to come home. She wept and thought of coming home. She sent a telegram. Coming home. He telegrammed back to her with the money to get on a train and come home. And at the train station 100 miles away, she got in an accident and died. There's a statue there in that town to her. It said, died forgiven.
Yeah.
Died forgiven.
Yes. Okay?
Died forgiven. He never forgot the love for that woman and never lost that. Held out for her all that time. And old Jimmy Rose, as a boy, he'd see that statue and never forgot that. That love that that man had had and that forgiveness that he'd had and a marriage that was going to last no matter what. And God told Israel, he said, that's my love for you. That's what I have for you, O Israel. Now, I want to deal with this subject here of marriage again, because again, we have people in just every different state of marriage here. Okay, from good marriages to rough marriages, people on their second, third marriages. We have people whose marriages are broken. We have people contemplating marriage. We have all that kind of thing here. And I just want to kind of go over some basics on it. And if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. We'll start in verse 3. Paul's talking about the different things that God ordained, that churches are to keep and such. And verse 3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now, that's what it's supposed to be. The head of a man is supposed to be Jesus Christ. Now, the head of every man isn't Jesus Christ, but it's supposed to be. Okay. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Those are old-fashioned concepts. We don't enforce concepts like that in this church. I know we got people that are, you know, different cultures or whatever else. In fact, it says later, if anybody's contentious, just let them be. Okay? It says it in this very chapter. Now it goes on, it says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if she be ashamed for a woman to be shorn or shaver, let it keep covered. That's why the Mennonites wear a little cap on their head, because they think they need to put a cap on there. It'll actually tell you at one point, the woman's covering's her hair, all right? It's what it is, it's her hair. But I'm reading all that to say this. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, I wanted to get to that statement, the woman is the glory of the man. Okay? And I've explained this to many a man that's come in and sat in my office looking for counseling. Okay? And oftentimes, I'll have a man come in, I'm going to tell you about my wife. She's blah, 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 blah. And they go and tell me and leave me this long list about their wife or whatever. And they don't understand.
They're actually indicting themselves when they do that. Now, let me explain why.
Any of you who've ever kept a garden, and let's say you keep roses or something of that sort, let's say you invited me over to see the roses, and I go over there, and there's these black rotten things on top of these beautiful bushes. What's happened? For some reason, the roses can't flourish. The leaves look okay, everything looks okay, but the roses can't flourish. Well, what's the glory of a rose plant? The rose, not the thorns, not the leaves, not the roots. Okay? Not the stems. The rose is the glory of that plant. God designed that a woman was to be the glory of the man. So when a man comes to me and tells me my glory is a nagging woman, that's what my glory is. It tells me something about that man. Probably any woman married you would end up being a nag. All right? So she probably ended up being. I had men actually sit there and they're acting like they're kidding, but they're not kidding. You ever had somebody say something to you where they act like they're kidding, you think, no, they weren't kidding.
They weren't kidding.
They meant that.
That's right.
Right? And I've actually had men, boy, if my wife died, I'd probably end up marrying that woman over there. What? You weren't kidding when you said that.
That's right, Pastor.
You're a stinking idiot, yep. Okay? You're an adulterer. You're just sitting around, and you're a jerk. And you know what? A guy sits there and thinks to himself, boy, look what my wife's like. She's terrible. But if I had a woman like that, it'd be okay. No, if that woman married you, she'd be just like your wife in 2 years. Yeah. Why? Because a woman's the glory of the man. No woman could flourish with an idiot like that.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
No woman could flourish with some guy like that.
Yes, sir.
And I understand there's women who don't want to do right or whatever else, but I just know that a good man can take care of that. Okay? A good man can handle that. That's what marriage is all about. Woman, she's the glory of the man. That's why I'm always suspicious whenever I see a man that dresses better than his wife. I'm just suspicious. Ruth Ann and I know a preacher like that. His dress is better than his wife. I wouldn't cross the street. If you gave me $100 cross the street and hear him preach, I wouldn't do it. All right? There's just something about that. Men are effeminate nowadays.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
What do I mean by that? When I say effeminate, I'm not talking about a sodomite.
That's right.
I'm not talking about somebody that men with men kissing. I'm talking about a man that's effeminate. He acts like a woman.
That's right.
How does a woman act? They react with their emotions. God designed them that way. Okay? It's one of the wonderful things. Women react with their emotions. Let me explain something. My wife's sitting there, and she is capable of thinking absolutely rational as much as I can. Okay? I'm capable of thinking just as emotional as she can. But that's not our comfort level. Our comfort level is for her to do the emotional thinking. Okay? I'll say, Timothy, you're on restriction for the next 22 years. Oh, but John, and then we work it out. You know, and between the two of us, one of us thought emotional, the other one thinking pure and logical, all right? And it doesn't mean she's stupid that she can't think logical, but God made her where she's comfort over be thinking in the emotion, okay? The Sultans were talking about Nick the other day, and Amy's just talking, oh, most emotional moment, and Ron, you know, they just, and but that's why they're a pair. You need both of that, okay? You need one to become from the emotional side, the other one from the rational side. You need that. That's part of what makes a marriage work the way it does, and kids should grow up in that kind of thing. But today, Heather has two moms.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about two women married together. I'm talking about some guy wearing lace panties or whatever, and you know, and going around there, and he's thinking with his emotions all the time, and his wife's thinking with her emotions, and neither one's sitting there thinking logical or whatever, and it's a mess, okay?
That's right. That's right.
It's just a mess. That's God right. Forbid.
Yep.
God forbid. The old Frank Zappa song, girl, you thought he was a man, but he's nothing but a muffin, you know. There's no rock and roller, but he had it straighter than a lot of people do. Yeah. All right. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hi. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter chapter 3, look at verse 7. talking about how husbands and wives get along. We're going to let the woman off the hook right now. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, number one, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. What's that mean? Ain't no two women alike. They're not. No two women are alike. Learn your wife. Have a little bit of sense, okay? What your buddy can come home and say to his wife, you can't come home and say to your wife.
That's right.
All right? What you can say to your wife, your buddy can't say to his wife. All right? Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Every one of them is different. Have a little bit of sense. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Find out what they like, what they don't like. It says, keep it in mind that she's the weaker vessel. What's that mean? Weaker mentally? Didn't say the weaker mind. Okay? Weaker emotionally? Didn't say weaker emotionally. Vessel. What's the vessel? The physical body. What's that mean? It means that when my wife and I arm wrestle, I can beat her 2 out of 3. All right? She's the weaker of the two of us. The weaker vessel. And you want to know something? When you're struggling spiritually, you know, when the finances are hard, it's tough to struggle spiritually then. It is. Okay? When you're sick, it's tough to struggle spiritually. But you know, when you're physically tired, that's one of the most tough times to struggle physically, you know, spiritually. When you're physically tired, been awake too long, not getting enough sleep or whatever else, and you have to keep this in mind, the woman gets weaker quicker than the man. And God said, you keep that in mind or your prayers are hindered. Okay? Your prayers are hindered. You're trying to pray to God and God's so angry with you because the way you're treating that woman, he ain't listening to a thing you're saying.
Uh-oh.
He ain't listening to you because you have forgotten the fact that she's weaker. Okay? Yeah, the two of you have just gone through something, maybe a long car ride, you've gone through something, been working out, you've been doing some stuff together, things are going on or whatever else, and you come in there and you forget the idea that she's more tired than you, her body's weaker, it's weighing on her harder, and now you're trying to get her to do something, and God is angry with you, okay? Because you have not kept in mind that she's physically weaker than you are. Now let me tell you something. There is no richer man on this earth than a man who comes home and his wife's home. No richer man on earth. I don't care if they got a nasty little car and they're living in a little pink trailer in the woods with a muddy driveway and a nasty looking dog tied to a dog house out back, okay? When a man comes home and if his wife's at home, there's no richer man on earth. Not everyone can do that. There's various reasons. Some of you, things have gone on in your lives, you can't do that. I understand that. I feel bad for you that you can't do that. I think you need to work and labor at whatever you can do that one day that can happen, okay? And you want to know something? I've never told a man you need to tie your wife at home. If she wants to go out there and work, let her work, okay? But you want to know something? I've never found a woman who, when she had a man who loved her and absolutely loved her children and took care of her and kept mind of the fact that she's the weaker vessel and prayed over her and such, who was not content to just be at home, cook that bacon for them and take care of those children and wash those clothes and do that stuff. Just content. Now, content every moment? No. Who is? I'm not content with my life every moment. Okay? I'm an idiot sometimes. Not expecting that. But I'm just telling you, there's no richer man than the man that has that. It's one of the greatest riches anywhere. You know how many men I know can't do that because they mortgaged their wife? What do you mean mortgage their wife? They went out there and bought a house that they couldn't afford. She has to go to work and she can't ever stop working because he mortgaged his wife. He mortgaged her for the next 30 years. She can't stop doing that or whatever. And you want to know something? If that's happened, it's happened. Okay? Live through what you've done. If you can be made free, do it rather. But don't voluntarily put yourself in that situation. You're better off living in half a house with your wife unmortgaged than living in some huge palace with your wife mortgaged and out there laboring every day and crying and wishing she didn't have to do it. And again, I'm never a man that says, oh, a woman can't be out. I've worked in places, they bring in a woman boss. You know what? I've absolutely respected that woman and give her my full obedience just like I would to anybody. Okay? You want to know it? Because it's the right and it's the proper thing to do. And I've done it. I've never gone out there, well, you oughtn't be out here. I've never done that, okay? Never done that. Don't ever tend to. I'd be angry with anyone from this church ever found out was doing something like that.
Good.
I'd be angry with you if I found that out. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all. Okay? Did it say that, oh no, the second marriage isn't honorable? Did it say that?
No, sir.
I didn't read that. Did anybody else see that in their version of the Bible? No. Okay? That's why when someone's come in here and they got a second or a third wife and things have split up and broken apart, I've never thrown stones at those people. I've never said, well, you're a lesser citizen than the rest of us. I've never done that, okay? Don't ever intend to do that. But I'll tell you this, I intend to do everything I can that the marriage you have now works.
Thank you, Lord.
The marriage you have now will be the one, the last one you ever have on this earth, okay? Marriage is honorable in all. It says, in the bed undefiled. Let me give you a doctrinal understanding of that. In the Old Testament, when a man had marital relationships with his wife, it said he was unclean for 3 days. He couldn't go into the temple. Okay? He couldn't go do sacrifices. There's no such thing in the New Testament. The marriage bed is undefiled. You'd have a honeymoon relationship with your wife, walk into the house of God, the presence of God, pray to God, there ain't a bit of problem, okay? The marriage bed is undefiled. But it said whoremongers and adulterers follow.
Yes, sir.
God will judge them, okay? God does have judgment. You know what the first judgment is? It's just the junk you bring into your own life. And I have a lot of people here, including me, that suffered that junk in life. The hurt, the pain, the tears, the sorrows you go through when you mess that part of your life up, okay? It is an awful thing. When that body that God's given you, God gave you one body in life and told you how to take care of it. And oh, there are people. You want to know something? If you have a dog that's killed a chicken, you can't ever let it loose near chickens again. It's over. You just have to tie it up. Either get rid of that dog, get rid of your chickens, because it'll just keep killing chickens. You can't stop it. Okay? You can beat that dog and beat that dog, but it's too late. It's learned how to kill that chicken. It's over. You want to know something? One of the reasons God told you don't fornicate? Because now your body's got stuff inside of it, lusting that God never intended to have it there. Okay?
Yes,
never intended it for it to be there. Never intended those emotions, those feelings to be there, and never intended those things to be loose until such time as you got married. And then God give you that partner and let you work that thing out for many a long year. Okay? Many a long year to work that thing out. But there's people who made that mistake, and that's why Paul said you sin against your own body when you do that. I know far too many people have had to weeped far too many tears because of all the mess they got themselves into. Let me tell you something. My wife and I are living examples of how God can take lives and purify them.
Sure.
Both my wife and I, before we ever met, lived like pigs all over the place. There's no other way to put it. Dogs and pigs on the street. That's how we lived, okay? And by the grace of God, when we came together and had a good pastor and put us together and taught us the grace of Jesus Christ and how to live and how to put our homes together and our families together and such. And yeah, it hurts when you have all these old memories and things in your body and you got all that kind of stuff. But you want to know what? God heals that stuff. God takes care of that stuff. God can do it. But you know what it takes? It takes an absolute submission to God to get him to do it. Takes an absolute submission to God. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about women without natural affection. What's meant by that? Medically, God designed. We look at the female, we look at the husband. But God designed the female that the first man that ever came along and aroused what we call scientifically her libido, all right? Aroused that, got her, all her female emotions stirred and inside and wanting him as a man. God designed it that she loses dopamine in her brain. What is that? It's the same thing that gets a heroin addict addicted. It's the same thing that gets a
cocaine addict that dopamine gets released in their brain. And the man in front of her becomes imprinted on her brain. But God calls the two shall become one flesh. So that the very smell of the musk behind his ears, the twinkle of his eye, the little teeny bits of breath that come out of his mouth inside, all become part of her and part of her emotions. You know what? Scientifically, a 40-second hug can do that to a virgin girl. A 40-second hug can do that. Where that dopamine is released and she's actually now addicted to that pain. And if those two break apart, it actually, the pain is as great as the pain of divorce. That's been proven over and over. These poor girls in these schools are going through that, and the teachers are handing them condoms, and nobody gives them a condom for their heart, nobody gives them a condom for their brain, nobody gives them a condom for their life. They just give them one to make another mistake with another guy. And then what happens? She goes out, and before she's healed from this guy who's become part of her and all of her emotions inside, deep inside of her, all of her is filled with this guy, she bonds with another one. But before she ever healed from the first one. So the bonding can't come as deeply. And then that one breaks apart because you're dealing with 16, 17-year-old kids with no maturity. And so she goes and bonds with another one. You know, the first guy took her six months to get her. The next guy takes 3 days. After that, she's every day. Every day. Bam. Every day. She's there. Okay? There's an old song, being easy in a day. It's the hardest life a woman will ever live. It's a miserable, awful life. Okay? I grieve for those women. I sorrow for those women. I do anything to help those women that are out there caught in that trap. It ain't easy being. It's an awful, awful life. Okay? But after a while, they can't bond anymore. It's broken. The best book that we have on it, that one book, I've had so many of you parents read it, doesn't mention God at one time, talks about how sex has affected our children. It says, after a while, those girls become like a piece of tape that you've used so many times you can't stick on the wall anymore. It's what the Apostle Paul calls without natural affection. It's broken inside. Do you realize that when a woman has a baby in the birth canal, that's the second time in a woman's life that dopamine is released. And that gives that woman that bond for that child. Jesus Christ talked about the agony of childbirth and how that after that child's born, the joy. You know, I stood there with my wife when she's having babies. Now, it's always a conflict for me because, you know, the new thing is stand there and go, I don't want to see that stuff. Go take a dollar and pour spaghetti on top of it or something. I'm not into that, all right? But at the same time, my wife wanted to be there. So I'm there, but I'm up on this end. The doctors are not on that end, all right? But, you know, it's one of those things where you're standing there and she's in agony. And you say, why did I do this to this woman? I go, she can't take one more bit of pain. And when the baby comes out. And I'm not over it, she is. Oh, look at the baby. You just left me in agony over what you've just gone through. And she ain't in agony anymore. She's got this baby. She's so happy with it. All right? That's the way God made it. Why? For one thing, dopamine got released in her. And she's bonded to this child. But you know what they found? Girls that have gone out and had 4, 5, or 6 partners, the dopamine doesn't release anymore when they have children. Okay? Doesn't release anymore. Go into Walmart. Tell me those women in line like their children. Tell me they like them.
Yeah.
Sit in the doctor's office with a woman with children. Tell me those women like their children. Tell me that. They don't. They don't. What's the hope? The hope's God.
That's right.
The hope is God.
Thank you.
That's what the hope is. It's God. Okay? If God couldn't heal that stuff, my wife and I would have no hope.
That's right, Pastor. Yes, sir.
But old Fanny Crosby sang it this way, deep in the human heart, touched by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace envies. God can heal that stuff. And God can heal that, but it takes a submission to God. An absolute submission.
Tanya and I were talking the other day. Tanya knows my wife and I love her like a daughter. But Tanya and I were just talking about that thing, one of the greatness of Caleb being born. She actually had natural affection for him. Josh hadn't known that. Wasn't there healing watching that? My older children watched that with my wife. They watched her have that natural affection for the younger ones that she just didn't have for the older ones. There was healing in it for them. There was healing. There was healing all around the world. That's one of the things, that natural affection is so broken nowadays because of what people do. And it says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You bring the judgment on yourself. You're not waiting to wait to get up to heaven to find out you're good. But you go through the agony here. That's why the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard.
Yes,
it's a hard life being a transgressor. It's hard what you go through. It's a hard life.
Yes, sir.
It's a miserable life. I would to God that every one of you could have an easy life. But you know what? The Bible way is the easiest life there is. Yes. Is it an easy life? No, there's times every life is hard. Okay? Talk to any married couple that have been around for a long time together. They've gone through some rough stretches, gone through some hard patches. But you know what? They make it work. And overall, they look at their life and say, you know what? Thank God we've done it that way. Thank God I kept with the old lady. Thank God I kept with you. Thank God for that, all right? I never call her the old lady. The calendar does. 61. She lies, so kids, 60. 61. You were born in 57. Right? But you know what? She's still my daughter. Okay? Still everything I want. Fills all my needs, okay? Everything I've ever wanted in life, she's right there. She's that for me.
Amen.
And you know what the great thing is? If this is God, I fill her needs. And only God can make that happen, okay? Only God could, but he doesn't. Tell you what, 10 minutes to 2, most you got Easter stuff to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to close right there. I don't see a point going on much more. Father, I thank you for what we've heard today. And I just thank you for this institution of marriage. And I pray for those people who have been broken and have to work for them. I pray that you heal their lives. For those who have marriage, that they wise up and handle it right.